We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
We're going to be talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon about the Lutheran Social Services throughout the state of Illinois with the chair of the board of this organization, Bob Rasmus. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you here in the studio with us today. Bob is the pastor of the Lutheran Church in Urbana, St. Matthew's Lutheran on Philo Road. How long have you been pastor there, Bob?
10 years this week.
This week?
Started in January of 2001, and have been there. Had a chocolate cake to prove it this morning. So
people celebrated. Yeah. Good. We'll be talking about your background, how you came to that position in a while, but let's jump right in and tell us about Lutheran Social Service. It's a huge agency in this state.
It is a huge agency. We have over 100 programs in 80 sites around the state. We're $116 million social service agency, over 2,000 employees. Sorry about all the numbers, but that's first how people sort of gauge the size of something. We last year served 68,918 people.
Say that number again.
68,918
people.
68,918. We had a director once that said, be specific about the numbers. These aren't, we don't round people off. So that was good advice.
Yes.
And so we do all sorts of things out of our resources and our faith. We have five lines of service: behavioral health and prison ministry and housing and child and community services. These sites are scattered all over the state. And so
now you say you do this out of your resources. Do only Lutherans support this? Can anybody go? Can only Lutherans take advantage of these resources?
No. In fact, we have no means test, religious test, any kind of test. We go to people who are poor, who are in need. Matter of fact, 75% of the people that we serve, of those 68,000, 75% of them have incomes of under $15,000 a year, and 46% have incomes of less than $5,000 a year. So we serve the poor.
Wow. And where does the resources come to pay for these 2,000 people to help these 68,000 poor folks?
Well, we have a number of resources, but primarily we do this ministry through state contracts, through Department of Aging, Mental Health, Department of Children and Family Services. We have very large populations of foster care and adoption cases. We take care of frail elderly. We have programs, substance abuse programs, mental health programs, programs for the developmentally disabled. Many of those are funded by state resources. So that's where a large percentage of our funding comes in. We also have a very faithful and dedicated base of donors, and in public radio, you know how important that is.
Absolutely.
And we have actually managed to even exceed our expectations in this kind of environment for these programs and ministries of goodwill. So we feel really good about that.
Now, some religious organizations, particularly some Christian evangelical organizations, take money from the government, from the state, from the city, from the feds, but then have sort of sneaky ways they get their faith out there to those people who come to them for financial help or advice with children or to adopt or something. The Lutheran Church that you're a part of is Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. How evangelical are you? Do you do that?
We don't proselytize because we think that this is gospel ministry. We think that Jesus is present in all of this, and we don't require someone to believe as we believe. We don't require someone to pass some test in order that we would serve them. That doesn't seem to be good theology and good social ministry at all.
But do you sneak in testimonies and witnesses and Bible verses to people who come to you for an adoption or for something else?
No, we don't. Our primary ministry is to serve these folks. We are very clearly a Christian organization. We are Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. We've been around a while.
How long?
Since 1867.
Wow.
1867, this organization started in Illinois. We have dimensions of our church, of our personal ministry, of my church's ministry, of individual piety, where we are evangelists in a very particular kind of way. But it is not how we do Lutheran Social Services. This is the gospel at work among us. We have some restrictions on the funds that we participate in that prohibits that. It's just simply the law, and we like to see ourselves as law-abiding citizens. So we will attend to the immediate needs of these folks as a primary issue, and we do it because we do it in Jesus' name, but we don't require people to believe as we believe.
Let me let listeners know the phone numbers. So if this is a live show every Sunday night here on WILL AM 580 and can be heard also at 90.9 FM HD3 if you have an HD3, if you have an HD radio, which I do. It's real nice. there are times when you can hear things on HD through FM when you can't get the AM signal too clearly. So that's a real advantage. It's also, of course, available on your computer live at will.illinois.edu and then AM. But the phone numbers for listeners on any of those places, any of those ways, you can call us 333-9455 if you're in the 217 area code. That's a local number, 333-9455. If it's long distance, there's a toll-free number, 1-800-222-9455. So long distance, 1-800-222-WILL, locally 333-WILL. Bob, you're the been the chair of this statewide organization since last June. How long have you been involved on the board or as part of the organization before that?
I was on the board. I've been on the board for 5 years. I have a 6-year term limit, so after June of 12, I'm done as a formal member of the board, but I'll always be connected to this agency. So
you're doing this in addition to your full-time pastoral work here at St. Matthew's Lutheran Church?
I am. And my church, St. Matthew, is an advocate for these services and for social ministry. And I actually had my council pass a resolution of encouragement for me to accept this position when I was nominated. And I didn't ask for that, but they did. And I thought that was really that was kind of them to give me that permission, because I do have to spend a lot of time Springfield and Chicago and elsewhere.
Helping run this organization.
Helping advocate for this organization. They don't need my help in running
it. But you don't
it.
Get paid by the agency for being chair of the board. That's a volunteer position. Your church
Absolutely.
Is paying your salary. So in a way, your congregation is enabling you to do this further ministry.
I tell them that this is an extension of our ministry, and I think that's true.
We have a caller from Champaign on line number one. Let's get that caller on the air. Yes, you're talking with our guest, Pastor Bob Rasmus.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to reinforce or confirm what the pastor said. My wife and I adopted 2 children, and we used Lutheran Social Services of Illinois through the process. And during that entire time, there was never any sense of sneaking in. I think those were your words, Bob. The particular Lutheran faith or even Christian doctrine. It was a social service that provided help that we needed in going through the adoption process, and we appreciated their professional and good work very much.
Well, thank you for mentioning that.
Thank you. And it was Steve that said sneaking in. we have here in Champaign, we have a large adoption foster care office, 260 kids. 4 counties, very busy, very effective organization. Gets a little bit bigger all the time because of the need. They're very good at returning foster care children back to their families. That's the goal of LSSI, and we do it as well as anybody. And so we're real proud of that. But I don't know the fellow that called if he came through our office here, but we do a large number of adoptions and foster care in the state every year.
Well, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate the call. Again, the number is 333-9455. If it's a local call, long distance, 1-800-222-9455. Talking about Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. Bob, you mentioned the adoption, and you mentioned these other five big categories of ways you're helpful to people who are in need, and particularly poor people. You mentioned prisoners. Tell us about what those programs are like.
Well, we have something called Prisoner and Family Ministry. It's one of our lines of service, if I could use that bureaucratic language. But we are in multiple sites around the state doing things like one of my favorites to talk about is something called Building Homes, Rebuilding Lives, where incarcerated people will help build the infrastructure for a house, rafters and walls and such things, take them out of the prison and then use them to build homes for poor people. I mean, how wonderful is that?
Yeah.
People are learning a skill. People are benefiting. In some sense, people are returning something to the community. And LSSI won a major award. Major awards in social service don't make the news.
Yeah.
But they thought that was quite a program that spoke to needs all across that spectrum.
So Lutheran Social Services would buy the lumber and the tools. And there'd be prisoners in prison who would put these together as rafters or walls or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would stay in prison, but the things they made would come out and be used for Lutheran Social Service to complete that project, mm-hmm. as a house to help poor people find a place to live.
Yeah, well, actually, we don't build houses, but it was for Habitat for Humanity, for example.
Oh,
built for Habitat or from some buildings that serve the poor or serve the needy. And so
you cooperate with other agencies.
Yeah. We don't build houses,
okay.
But we do build great big residences for the poor elderly, for folks who are limited incomes but need a place to live. So we've got those all over the state. Just opened a new one in Taylorville, one in Decatur, Danville, plus others around the state. We have our own architect on staff, and so in our housing division, we contract with HUD, and we build a lovely building, and we manage it, and HUD helps to subsidize the payments for low-income elderly. And you ought to see these places. If I could get my mother down to be in one of these places, she would meet the means test. I would be completely confident and happy to have her in there. So there's my plug for senior housing.
But you say there is a means test. These are only for poor people.
These are only for people who are on fixed incomes, who have no big pool of assets.
No great pension.
No.
Right.
And there's you'd be surprised at how many people there are among us who live on the edge like that. And
absolutely.
So we're very, very pleased to be able to make a pretty good dent in that need around the state. Yeah.
How big is your board that you're chair of?
We have 18 members of the board. I was afraid you're going to ask me that. I didn't count them before I came in. I could name them for you.
No,
we have board members from across the state. We have board members who are not Lutheran. We have we are ethnically diverse. We are and multi-talented. I'm in awe of some of the folks that serve in this board, people with long careers in business and finance and medicine and education and healthcare. I'm thinking I get a little red in the face when I compare my resume to theirs. I mean, these are really, really dedicated people hooked deeply into the Illinois economy and the Illinois culture, the Illinois sort of network of goodwill. And
again, all volunteers.
All volunteers. Yeah. We have paid staff, but all the board members occasionally will get mileage. If we have to go to a meeting out of a town, the agency will cover the hotel. But if you're in this for the money, you made a wrong turn.
Now, as a charity, you're registered with the state of Illinois. You have to give reports on people's salaries and where the money goes that's donated.
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a tremendous amount of oversight in each one of these agencies, and we shine in that. That's not my job. We have staff whose responsibility is to keep us current and kosher with the state, and so we do a really good job of accounting for this. It's difficult work to do, so you have to have the staff to do it, because if you've got people's lives in your hands and you don't want people messing around cutting corners, fudging numbers. That doesn't happen, and we make sure it doesn't happen. And so we have a marvelous relationship with the state. It's not. This is a ministry. You know, we talk about this being a church ministry, and it is. But I want to, if you'd bear with me, I want to share with you something from the Constitution of the State of Illinois. This is when the drafters of the Constitution said, this is the kind of people we are. Here's what it says. We, the people of the State of Illinois, grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberty, yada, 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 in order to provide for the health, safety, and welfare of the people, eliminate poverty and inequality, assure legal, social, and economic justice, provide opportunity for the fullest development of the individual, yada, 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 do ordain and establish this Constitution. It's written into our public documents that this is the kind of people we would be. And so we're not self-conscious about our partnership with the state at all. They just turn to organizations like LSSI and our brothers and sisters in the Missouri Synod, Children and Family Ministries, Services. Catholic Services has a great organization.
Catholic Social Services,
yes,
of course.
Yes, a great organization in Illinois.
Right.
They turn to faith-based organizations like us because we do this with zeal and conviction, and we do it better probably than you could if you paid a staff to do this. That's my opinion.
But isn't there a problem sometimes with the state because of the kind of paperwork that's involved and reporting that's involved and all this financial accountability? I mean, doesn't it sometimes slow you down and frustrate you?
Yeah, it's but it goes with the territory. That's the world we live in. Those are the relationships we have. It does no good to complain about them. We comply. And we go on with our ministry. And so it's just the way it is. And some of this red tape, as it's called, and this accountability, some of this came around for good reason.
Because there had been abuses.
Yeah. Some people are unscrupulous, and so, you know, you just have to, you tolerate it and do what you're called to do.
We have another caller waiting to join this conversation with Bob Rasmus, who's pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Urbana, and chair of the Lutheran Social Services of Illinois. Line number one again, this time a caller from Urbana. Yes, you're on the air.
Hello. It sounds like you've got quite a big project there. Are there projects like this in other states as well as Illinois, or is this unique?
As far as a church social service network?
Right.
In most states, or many states, I can't say most states, but Lutheran Social Services of Illinois is part of something called Lutheran Services in America. It's a huge network. 1 in 50 Americans, and if I wasn't absolutely sure of this statistic, I wouldn't give it to you, but every 50th American is served by Lutheran Services of America. By some part of the Lutheran Social Service Network, every 50th American is served by this network. So we're part of a huge social service network, billions of dollars, and a very large footprint of care all across the country.
Great. Keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. You mentioned it's in other states, and our caller asked about that. What about Indiana? This program is heard over the air in Indiana, and, of course, beyond that, on the Internet everywhere. But does Indiana have a good program?
Indiana, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Missouri. I grew up in North Dakota. One in every nine North Dakotans is served by Lutheran Social Services, but there aren't many of us up there, so that's why I'm in Illinois.
Let me give the phone numbers again. We're happy to have other callers, 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana area. If it's a local call, if it's long distance, 1-800-222-9455. Bob, what about the problems the state of Illinois has been having, along with a lot of other states, with coming up with enough money to pay its debts? Has Lutheran Social Service suffered because the contracts you have to help in these various areas that the state of Illinois wants to do, they haven't been able to pay you to do them?
Yeah. Let me give you just a little bit of scenario how that works. We enter into a contract with the state that says we'll do these particular things. We will serve these people. We will serve this many people. We will provide services for developmentally disabled or substance abuse or something like that. And so we do what we say we're going to do, and then the state pays us for those services. Over time, and any social service person out there will call up. I welcome you to call up and give your own story. But We deliver those services, and we paid our employees, and we paid our expenses, and we paid our rent if we were in a building or something like that, and we had to wait for the state to reimburse us. And that went on. It was frightening, frankly. It was, I would call up with trepidation to our main office in Des Plaines, are we going to have enough money to make payroll? We have a chief financial officer and a CEO and a chief operating officer who have, this ain't their first rodeo. So they were doing all sorts of wondrous, marvelous, innovative things to keep expenses down, to avoid closing programs. But right before Thanksgiving, we had tapped out all of our lines of credit. We had borrowed from our foundation to the maximum that we could. We had sold some liquid investments we had, and it was Thursday, and there is a payday on Friday. And I don't know what would have happened. And we got a partial reimbursement from the state. That's scary. Yeah. Not because, you know, things don't work out as we choose and we feel bad about that or something like that. People's well-being is at stake when you do that. What do you do? And so we got caught up reasonably, we haven't had that same scenario since. But in the meantime, we have had to pay interest on the money that we borrowed lines of credit. We borrowed from our foundation, which is a long-term investment to build the future. And so we are stuck there. But again, Steve, that's the world that we live in. These are the circumstances that are before us. And I'm not going to sit there and beat anybody up. I have to say that it was... I know that the actions of the state in the lame duck session are controversial, with a tax increase, but if we had not done something, we wouldn't be talking about what ifs. We would be talking about some crisis in human services in this state, and not just Lutheran Social Services. We're one of the largest, but we're by no means the only people that provide these kind of services. And if the spigot is shut off, you don't go tell someone who is developmentally disabled to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Right. It's not the kind of people that we are,
right.
And we can't tolerate that. And so I know that Representative Naomi Jacobson and Senator Mike Frerichs voted for that, and they've taken some real heat for that. We were on the phone encouraging them to do that. I'll say that because we think people's well-being is at stake. The services that we provide are efficient and well-regarded and necessary. And without this, we'd have been hurt bags. So.
And Lutheran Social Services not only has contracts with the state of Illinois, but you get a lot of donations from people who are Lutheran and others who maybe have adopted a child through your agency and are grateful. So you're not only you're really multiplying the money that comes through taxes without people even knowing about it or thanking you, probably. Thank you.
Well, we do have, we have a marvelous donor base, and we exceeded our expectations. We set some goals that we exceeded, and in these circumstances, that says something about how people are committed to these services and to the folks that we serve. I have to say something about the staff. We can't, you know, if you're a social worker, you're not buying a house on the golf course. I mean, these people are not the highest paid people, highly educated. Most of the social workers in our network are masters of social work. We have counselors and caregivers and caseworkers and all sorts of things. But these folks who persevere and who keep day-to-day and month-to-month providing these services out of the goodness of their hearts because they believe that this person they serve matters, they're heroes to me. And I that sounds so schmaltzy and sentimental, but who is going to do this work with such conviction? It's an amazing thing to me, and so I'm so proud to be a chair of an organization that has people that serve people in this manner.
We're about halfway through our program, talking with Pastor Bob Rasmus. That's spelled Rasmus. He's pastor of the St. Matthew Lutheran Church on Philo Road in Urbana. And we'll be getting back to him in just a moment. He's also chair of the Lutheran Social Services of Illinois' Board of Directors. And he has been since last June and will be for another year or so. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. Coming up here on WILL AM 580 next week, we'll be talking with Sonia Warfel. This is a change in our announced programming. We were going to play an archive program, but I was successful in finding a way to have someone be on the air that has not been heard before. And we're going to be talking about feminism and dance. Sonia Warfel is a graduate student getting a master's in fine arts here at the University of Illinois. And we'll be talking with her. It'll be pre-recorded because, after all, it is Super Bowl Sunday next week. And, you know, people have other plans. So we will have that program being broadcast here that we'll be recording this week. The week following, February 13, will be a live program. And again, the calls are welcome for that one. We'll be talking with Dr. Abulaish from Gaza in Palestine. He's a medical doctor who's had four members of his family killed before his eyes by an exploding shell in Gaza. But he wrote a book called I Will Not Hate. We'll be talking with him. He'll be speaking here that weekend in Champaign-Urbana. And we're fortunate to be able to be talking with him live on the air February 13. February 20, we'll be having Professor Brent Houston from the Department of Media here at the University of Illinois talking about some research that he's done on poverty in Champaign County. That'll be February 20 here on Keeping the Faith. Elizabeth Buckley will be our guest on February 27th talking about music. She recently won a major prize for her own singing and performed at Carnegie Hall as part of that competition in New York. March 6th, Clayton Doffenbaugh will be our guest talking about ecology. On March 13, a program we had planned to have earlier but now has needed to be postponed till March 13, we'll be learning about the new Common English Bible, a new translation. And one of the head translators is Joel Green. We'll be talking with him by phone from California at Fuller Seminary, and Lib Caldwell from a seminary in Chicago. So those are some of the programs coming ahead here on Keeping the Faith. And I'm very happy to say that sometime in April or May, Laura Kakoma, who now sings her African jazz under the name of Somi, S-O-M-I, a variation of her middle name, will be on the air talking about jazz and particularly African-rooted jazz and a nonprofit foundation that she has started to help promote that sort of music in this country. And in the week, either before or after, we're still negotiating all that. Tenor sax jazz player John Ellis will be our guest also by phone talking about the values of this distinctive American art form. He's been performing with a group called Double Wide, his band, and it's gotten quite a lot of press recently. And you hear his tenor sax music at the beginning and end of this program each week. Well, let's get back to our guest today, Bob Rasmus. We have a caller waiting on line number one from Champaign. Yes, you're on the air with Bob.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have two questions, please, and then I'll just hang up and listen on the radio.
Of course.
My first question is, this has nothing to do with what you've been talking about, but how many groups of Lutheran churches are there in the United States?
That's a good question. We'll get to that. And the next question?
The next question is, do people from all these various congregations of Lutherans contribute to Lutheran social services, or does every subgroup have a social service?
Two good questions. We'll respond. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer the first question because there's a lot of Lutheran
too many groups to count.
Groups. There's primarily five or six groups. But keeping track of the Lutheran alphabet is a vocation in itself. The ELCA, the LMCS, You know, the NALC is a new organization. And so I really truthfully don't know. The ELCA is the largest, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, of which I'm a part.
And, how many folks in this country?
There's 5 million ELCA folks, okay, give or take, and about maybe 2.5-3 million Missouri Synod. Then there's a Wisconsin Synod of a couple of 100,000, and then some others that I am not familiar with,
okay,
or not versed in.
And what about her second question in terms of, do each of these groups have their own social services network, or do they contribute to the— yours?
No, we are in partnership in Lutheran Services of America with the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church.
Sure. Okay, the next largest.
Yes,
okay.
and it is one of our primary interactions that we have nationwide, and so they're a part of this. The other Lutheran groups. I think the Wisconsin Synod participates in some of the Lutheran activities, maybe. But social services, there's not like a requirement, for example, that our church levies upon every congregation to support Lutheran social services. We have some congregations that are deeply, deeply invested in Lutheran social services and others who contribute nothing at all. I wish everybody would do a little something. And, you know, I get a little not self-conscious, but I sometimes worry that our Lutheran title is a barrier. Well, you'll only serve Lutherans, or only churches, Lutheran churches can be involved or something. That's not true at all. We serve people of every faith and no faith at all. There's no, as I spoke earlier, there's no test of whether or not you are kosher enough for us to serve you. That's a theologically ridiculous. So we don't do that.
Now, when you say something is theologically ridiculous, do you see this ministry, this outreach, these programs that have been around since 1867 in Illinois, sponsored by the Lutheran Church, do you see them as growing out of your theology, your beliefs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, and I would really love to take to say the Lutherans have the market cornered on this, but that's not true. This is part of how it is that we live out our faith. This is what we believe, especially in post-Reformation churches like the Lutherans and the Presbyterians and those, that this is a consequence of our blessing. This is how people who have been saved act. This is how we our faith is reflected in our love for our neighbor. And so theologically, this is something that comes very naturally to us. This is how we practice our faith with our hands.
But how is that different from a completely secular agency which has no tie to religion and which also does almost exactly the same thing?
They do it for a different motivation, and we applaud those people who serve the poor. We applaud those people who are partners with the disenfranchised and those who have no advocates and no voice. I wouldn't be a critic of those people for anything. We do this out of our faith. We do it well. We do it in partnership with people who don't share our faith because we think that God has called us through Christ to serve our neighbor. So that's our orientation. If others serve the poor for their own motives, we're not going to question their motives or criticize them.
And do you see them as partners? Do you cooperate?
We have an advocacy arm where we cooperate with all sorts of people for the purposes of the poor, for the disenfranchised, for the needy in the state. We have all sorts of partners in something called for the common good. Help me out here.
Protestants
for the common good. And the Responsible Budget Coalition, we're part of that group that has some folks who are interested in good government, fair tax policy and such, so that we can keep our promises.
Now, Lutherans and other Protestants have been separated from the Catholic Church since the Reformation times, obviously. How different are the services you offer as Lutherans to what the Catholic Social Service offers also throughout the state of Illinois?
That's a little bit above my pay grade, I think, but of some of the programs that I know, especially having to do with substance abuse counseling and behavioral health kind of things. We do things almost exactly the same. As a matter of fact, in Chicago, Catholic Services had to step away from some ministries for financial reasons, and we picked them up. And so, you know, we don't. You know, those kind of distinctions are out there, but they're not as a practical way getting in the way of how we serve people. I haven't had a problem. I haven't seen a problem with my 5 years on the board with that. So no.
If your social workers in the Lutheran Social Services of Illinois are talking with a young woman who's pregnant considering abortion, would you continue the conversation?
The pregnancy counsel we do are with the services that we provide. So we will provide adoption counseling. We will provide services for a mother who is preparing to have a baby. We'll put them in touch with people who want to adopt. We will counsel in the services that we provide.
But you wouldn't hesitate informing that young woman about what abortion services are possible if that's what she wants to choose?
I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that. I would say that I would go back. We provide adoption and prenatal kind of conversations. And so that's where we would be encouraging and be informative.
Uh-huh. We're talking with Bob Rasmus, who is chair of the board for the Lutheran Social Services in the state of Illinois. Bob, tell us a little bit about your background. I've announced that you're a Lutheran pastor here at St. Matthew's Church in Urbana. What did you do before that?
Well, I've been doing this for 15 years this year. I came up here from my first call in deep southeast Texas. Deep southeast Texas. My wife can make a vicious gumbo taught to her by a Cajun woman across the alley. So that's where we came before we came here. I grew up in North Dakota, so I love all this snow around here, and I suppose the phones will light up now. I'm looking forward to our next snowfall.
A foot and a half, perhaps, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Now you're speaking my language. Those are sweet nothings in my ear. I spent 3 years in the Army. I was a medic, and then I got out and went to the University of Minnesota graduated and went into the news business. I was a news director of a radio station in Iowa.
Commercial radio station.
Commercial radio station. Covered a campaign. The guy that won invited me to go to Washington, so I was a press secretary for a guy out there for 2 terms. That's a good adventure. I'm a bit like Chauncey Gardner in being there. I like to watch. and so I had my fill of watching, and I came back, and I went to work for a network, radio network, and covered politics and public affairs. From there went to the seminary trying to redeem myself after politics and news.
So, how old were you when you went to seminary?
36.
You were married?
I was not married. I had a good dog.
Where did you meet your spouse?
In the seminary. My wife is Anne. She is in programming at the University YMCA here.
I've heard of it.
And you're familiar with that place. And so she was studying art and theology there, and I was a Master's of Divinity student. And now you know the rest of the story.
Where were you in seminary?
Chicago, Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago, Southside. Still a Twins fan, however.
Since you mentioned your spouse, Anne, one of the programs that she's involved with at the University Y, which has been a supporter and contributor for Keeping the Faith over the years here at WILL, is called Art at the Y. And currently there's a very interesting art exhibit at the University Y on Wright Street called Ability, an exhibition of the artwork of Swan Special Care Center residents. These are profoundly disabled children, but some of them have a artistic sense, and there's a wonderful exhibition that started there January 20, and will be going on for several weeks. It's free. You can stop by the University Y. It's at 1001 South Wright Street. That's the corner of Wright and Chalmers on campus. If you're worried about parking or driving on campus, take the buses. They're about 25 or 30 that go by there every hour. Just get off at the University Library and walk half a block to the Y toward the north. I might also mention that the University Y Friday Forum starts up this week. The long-running lecture series that's free to the public on this coming Friday, this 4th of February. The topic is President Obama as Commander-in-Chief, and Ryan Hendrickson, a professor of social science from Eastern Illinois University, will be giving that talk. The whole series this semester at the Y is called Americans at War, a look at the impacts of U.S. military power in the 21st century. Some of the other folks speaking later will be talking about green issues in the Army and searching for nonviolent approaches, religious dynamics of remembering and forgetting America's war dead. A professor from from the University of Illinois Department of Religion, Jonathan Ebel, will be speaking. U.S. peacemaking efforts in Iraq and Afghanistan, Paul Deal will be speaking. So those are some of the programs coming up. But this Friday, it's Ryan Hendrickson talking about President Obama as Commander-in-Chief. No university lectures will not start until February 22nd, but it looks like a good series, and we'll be announcing later there. After those little notices about things happening free in the local Champaign-Urbana community, let me give the phone numbers again for people who have questions for our guest, 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana, elsewhere 1-800-222-9455. And, of course, if you've missed part of this program or would like to hear other programs that have been here on Keeping the Faith, you can go to will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith and leave the G off of keeping, because that's the way this program has been for about a dozen years now. So will.illinois.edu/keepingthefaith, and you'll see all the archive programs. You can listen at your convenience on your electronic device that may be in your pocket or on your desk, computers and iPhones and all those sorts of things. So let's get back to talking with Bob. Bob, when you were doing news for the radio and then helping politicians with their communications, what did you think of religious folks who were lobbying and coming from like the group of social services to your congressman, your senator, and saying, hey, remember the poor, let's live up to our promises as a country and help some of the poorest people in some way. Did you see them as annoying? Did it bother you to have them coming to you and lobbying your people?
No. On the contrary, the folks that we spoke with, and I was the press secretary, so our legislative people spent most of the face-to-face time with those folks. Were people who were well-informed. This is what I remember about that, and I had never thought about that, Steve, so I'm kind of off the cuff here, but I remember them being well-informed, very enthusiastic about their point of view, and not distracted by peripheral issues. These were folks who were very focused on their issues, and so it was hard to get them off subject, which tactically sometimes you want to do if you don't agree with their position. Not that I would ever do that, and so that's how I remember it. I remember them being a growing voice. I was back in the 80s, and there wasn't, the public voice of religion was sort of on the ascendancy, and it started to come out with the expression of conservative evangelical religion, of finding a foothold in politics. And so I was kind of there on the front end of that. And that was actually an amazing thing to behold, because it was a whole new force in politics. It was different. It was unexpected. And a lot of folks didn't know how to deal with it. Are these just a bunch of crazy fundamentalists? Well, you get to talking to people who were well-informed on issues, well-informed on process. You had to dispense with that sort of naive notion right away and deal with these folks as a constituency of voters, of issue people. And it was an amazing thing to watch. But again, I was under the cover of being the press secretary, so I knew what I could say and couldn't say, and I didn't have to, the luxury of my job as a press secretary, I had to convey someone else's opinion. So
we're down to our last 12 minutes or so. Let's talk a little bit about the St. Matthew's Lutheran Church, where you've been the pastor for 10 years this week, you were telling us earlier. What are some of the things that you're happiest about being in that particular congregation?
Well, you know, I have a very strong orientation towards social ministry, and so does this congregation. We're well matched in that. I often am following the lead of my congregation. As some wise church fellow once told me, it takes the whole church to raise a pastor. And so I take that to heart, and so I follow as much as I lead, I think. We have sort of a multidimensional social ministry. We have a five-acre field in the back that we plant every year, and every bean or kernel of corn that comes off there goes to support a Lutheran World Belief ministry somewhere around the world to build an economy that is broken down by poverty or hunger or something like that. That's been an important ministry for us. The Meyer Corporation, we're off Philo Road where Meyer is now, has now built a building. They let us used to let us use that for free, those good people. And we would plant a large crop there, and then all of that would go off. So we do that on a smaller scale since they decided to build a store there.
Sure.
I guess that's their prerogative. But we do thank them for that. We have... we're sending our sixth group down to New Orleans this weekend. I'm going along with them, and we are doing that ministry with the Presbyterians. We're hooking up with the Presbyterians down there, and so we've got 16 people from my church going down there. There's still a need down there, so we do that. Our senior high goes out every year and does a week of building or restoring or something with other like-minded church kids from around the country. We have some food programs, and that is one of the I suppose one of the compelling ministries at our church.
So many mainline Protestant churches have been losing members, and yet you had a happy day this morning. Tell us about
Well, we haven't been. The opposite is true for us. We're not growing exponentially, but we're growing, and we had, thanks for asking, we had 31 people join our church this morning, and that was a great blessing and a humbling experience to have people want to participate in the ministry of the church and call that their home. So,
now, Lutherans are also known for wonderful music in worship, going all the way back, of course, to J.S. Bach.
Mm-hmm. You anticipated at least one little plug I was going to give. You mentioned that Elizabeth Buckley will be on the air with you in a couple of weeks. She happens to be our music director, and so we were cheering her on at Carnegie Hall. John Sutherland, who has been on this program, put together a Bach cantata with Vom Himmelhoch, Luther's sort of children's music. I'm naive about this stuff, so that's the way I'm going to put it. He may have written that for his kids. Bach loved it, and with a little help and the leadership of John and Elizabeth, our church performed that, our choir with a couple of ringers. And it was awesome. It was a really wonderful program. And so that is a legacy of the Lutheran Church that I suppose we could express a little vanity about. We have always been a church that supplied great music to the world. And
you have a wonderful pipe organ.
We have a marvelous pipe organ and a wonderful organist. And again, this is all way above my pay grade. I can't do any of that stuff. I did play All God's Critters Got a Place in the Choir this morning, but that's the best I can do.
Well, let me compliment Lutherans in general on their architecture. I'm kind of an architecture buff, and Lutheran churches often are very well designed. They're attractive, they're welcoming, many are quite beautiful, and yours is one example of that. I don't even know who designed it, but it was certainly a good job who designed that particular church building.
It was a firm out of Chicago. They did some churches about the same time around the state of Illinois. So if you walk into St. John's Lutheran Church in Bloomington, you're going to have an experience
similar.
Of St. Matthew. Yes,
okay.
Quite similar.
Well, there's nothing wrong with sharing good ideas.
No.
Let's get back to the Lutheran Social Services of Illinois, some of its programs. You mentioned child welfare. You mentioned substance abuse. What kinds of things do you offer for people?
Well, there are so many programs, Steve, that it's mind-boggling. I mean, we're not an inch wide and a mile deep, an inch deep and a mile wide. We have programs. Not all programs are available in every county of the state. So that's important to know. But let me give you an example of how LSSI meets a need. There's a, have you ever heard of anything, something called Prader-Willi syndrome?
No.
It is a genetic disorder that causes somewhere the trigger to stop, to tell you that you're satisfied after a meal is gone. It's broken somehow. Huh. So people who have this syndrome cannot stop eating, and they will crawl into garbage dumpsters and they'll suck the tubes out of suck the toothpaste out of a tube and eat anything that, well, you can imagine what kind of life they have. And so LSSI recognized that some time ago. There are three group homes for Prader-Willi that we have around the state. And it was a very controlled environment. The circumstances are to ensure that they have a healthy diet. They're given opportunities for vocational possibilities and all that kind of thing. So that's the kind of thing.
Very specialized.
But we also, you know, we do specialized foster care for kids that who have had just unspeakable experiences in a family where their lives have been so torn up that they need specialized care. We do that. We do regular foster care and relative foster care. We facilitate adoptions. We have
Do you do international adoptions?
We do mostly local adoptions.
Mostly local.
Yep. Where there's a growing crisis in this country, and it's going to become more apparent as time goes on with autistic kids aging out of high school and being the children of aging parents. Where do they go?
Yes.
And so we're trying to respond to that. For as big as we are, we're fairly nimble. So it won't be long before we have a home in Springfield for young adult autistic folks who can live and function on their own, but
need supervision.
Yeah. Sure. And that's so specialized. The color of the paint you have to be careful of. The doors have to be wide. The ceilings, that takes some real work. We're looking up at a place up in the Chicago area also. And we are just beginning to meet what is going to be a tremendous need out there. I'm proud of the organization for being foresighted enough and nimble enough and fluid enough to be a leader on that. So I'm very interested in to see how this goes down the road. And then we do some basic things like housing for the poor elderly or adult daycare, home services for the elderly, services for juveniles. On and on.
If someone wants to find out about the particular services through LSSI in their county, in their area, is there a website for the whole state? Are there phone numbers?
If you go to lssi.org, lssi.org, our opening page on our website will take you wherever you need to go. If you don't have a computer, call 847-635-4600.
Repeat that phone number.
847-635-4600. And if you want to email, it's info@lssi.org. And there's the opening page is marvelous. I mean, you can spend all day there looking at the services. How to be a foster parent. How to adopt kids.
We have another caller waiting, this time from the Champagne on line number one. Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening. Is this the St. Matthew's Lutheran Church on North Philo Road?
Yes.
South
Filer Road, over by the Meyer store. Yes, ma'am.
I was on the board of the Prairie Land Conflict Mediation Center.
Yes, ma'am.
And you all were so kind to let us use your space to meet with the parties who were in conflict. And you were one of several churches, and we were extremely grateful for being allowed to use your space. And we haven't used it recently because we were donated some space by a law firm, and that's made everybody's life a little easier.
Oh, good. But, well, we're not going anywhere, so if there comes a time, please give us a call. It is actually a stated goal of our congregation to be a community asset, and so if we can do this, like we did with the Prairie Land Conflict Mediation, we have a big building and we have a lot of space. So
and you all were so generous and everybody was so kind to us, and I cannot thank you enough. And we were happy recipients of your Christian service and your goodwill. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Appreciate the call. And we're down to our last couple minutes. Let's ask Bob Rasmus one more question about Lutheran Social Services. If people would like to donate, they can go to your website, which is lssi.org, or if they don't have computer access, they could call 847-635-4600. Is that correct?
Yes, and they would have no trouble. They will meet no obstacles or encounter any barriers to donating to LSSI, I can assure you. But if you go to the website, there is an actual link for supporting our ministry. So, you know, if the Spirit moves you, I encourage you to do so. These are tough times for everybody, and would only do good.
And, of course, that also includes local public radio, and we're
sure
able
does.
To talk about Lutheran Social Services only because people have been so generous. And if you'd like to make a pledge to Will, to WILL, willpledge.org, we'll let you do that. So do remember WILL as you think about your charitable giving, because there's all kinds of rumblings about further cuts both at state and federal level mm-hmm. for public radio, and we feel we do a service to the whole community, but we're becoming more and more dependent upon people's generosity as individuals, and of course some corporations help too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Bob Rasmus, any last words of things that I haven't thought to ask because I don't know enough about Lutheran Social Services of Illinois?
Well, I think that it's important for me to make it clear that we are not just a narrow denominational ministry. Lutheran Social Services is integrated throughout the state, north, south. You know, we have a lot of programs in Chicago because there are a lot of people in Chicago. But this is a ministry that serves, actually, in our numbers, if we were to look at who we most serve, we have more people who identify themselves as Catholic than anything else. And so please don't think that this is a ministry that's restricted in any way. We just exist to serve the poor, the needy, and to be a witness to healing and wholeness and justice, as our mission statement says.
I want to thank our guest today, Pastor Bob Rasmus of St. Matthew Lutheran Church on South Philo Road in Urbana, Illinois, for being our guest. He's chair of the Lutheran Social Services of Illinois since last June, and will be for the next year or so. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs, and I'm happy to say that next week we'll be playing a recorded program that we'll be recording this week with Sonia Warfel about feminism and dance. And then the following week, Dr. Abulayish, I have to try to learn how to say that in 2 weeks. He's a medical doctor from Gaza. We'll be talking about his book, I Will Not Hate, that he wrote after several members of his family were killed in the conflict in Palestine. Professor Brent Houston from the Department of Media will be our guest on February 20, talking about poverty in Champaign County. He and some graduate students have been doing research on that, and from the Department of Media. Elizabeth Buckley will be talking about music on February 27th, Clayton Doffenbaugh about ecology on March 6th, and Joel Green and Lib Caldwell on March 13 will be talking about their work producing the brand new Common English Bible. Only the New Testament is out so far, but the Hebrew Bible part, the Old Testament for Christians, will be published this year, so we're delighted to have them. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.